This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
I don't know if you've ever tended a fire through the night. A few years ago, we were camping, and for a whole series of reasons, we couldn't sleep. And so it fell to us to stay up through the course of the night and keep the fire going. And tending a fire through the night is strange because you start with this, at the beginning of the night, you've got this big pile of wood, and then it reduces all the way down at 2 or 3 a.m. and ash covers over the coals and it looks like everything's over, and a small little stoke and a little bit of watchfulness and a little bit of extra kindling and it roars back to life again. And being a dad, being a father is a little bit like tending a flame through the night. It's not when life is bright and busy and colourful. So much of being a dad or being a father is in the hidden unseen hours. Faith, hope and love don't roar to life on their own. They dwindle. And being a father is about cultivating that, nourishing that and passing that on. And today we want to honour those. I want to honour those fathers, father figures, dads in waiting who've diligently and prayerfully tended that flame, who've kept that fire lit through the course of the night, because this is our sacred calling. They don't roar like this, and it's not always triumphant. It's not always bright and beautiful. And as Vin has already said, sometimes days like today are reminders of times when we've failed, times when we've been in families that have failed, and we continue to draw strength from our Heavenly Father, who will never fail, who has the ability to resurrect things and bring and turn good out of what has been evil. We're going to open the scriptures today, 2 Timothy, and we're going to read this passage together and then talk a little bit about how we keep this strong foundation, how we keep the fire lit. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5 to 7. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. This is Paul writing to his son in the faith. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. This is the Apostle Paul's final letter. He's writing from prison. He will go on to say that in this moment he's about to be poured out like a drink offering. These are some of the Apostle Paul's final written words. These are words of a spiritual father to a son in the faith. He's not writing to a biological child, but one who has become a son through their connection of faith in Jesus Christ. And there's a generational flow that happens here. He says to Timothy, I'm reminded of the faith that's first started in your grandma, that then got passed on to your mum, and then got passed on to you. And Timothy, I have been privileged to watch that and then be able to cultivate that and tend that flame from the side as we've watched that fire grow. Faith that dwells, this is sacred inheritance. This is faith that dwells, that lives inside of a person. And Paul says here, you've got to fan it into flame. I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God. Why does faith need to be fanned? Because it dwindles it flickers. Unless we fan it, it needs fuel. It needs wind. It needs something to keep it going, someone to keep it going. And so, church, remember today, faith is not just taught. It's transmitted. It's passed down. Not always in sermons either, but in presence, in person, in proximity. Faith is transmitted in whispered prayers, in the way that we apologize, in the way that we confess, in the way that we say sorry, in the way that we keep showing up. Dads, I want to speak to you today and say, you don't need to be a hero. You don't need to be Superman. You just need to keep showing up. You need to keep being present. Even if your faith feels like embers, please do not let it die. Fan it into flame. Who passed the fire on to you? Was it your grandmother? Was it your mom? Was it a spiritual father? Was it your own father? Was it a leader or a life group leader or somebody in you? Who passed that flame on to you? And who are you passing it on to? Who will be the next one in the line that you figuratively lay your hands on and fan into flame the gift of God? Abraham Joshua Heschel says, faith is not clinging to a shrine, but it's an endless pilgrimage of the heart. We keep walking, we keep growing, we keep fanning that flame. Not only is it sacred, but the fire is also forged in the struggle. Paul doesn't hide this here. We sometimes adopt or kind of think about a faith that's victorious all the time. But Paul here says in this final letter from prison, talks about the struggle and the way that faith is passed on through even the most difficult of circumstances. Hope is not forged in comfort, but in trial. And in a world that is obsessed with highlight reels, Paul here defines the grind of faith. It is a grind sometimes. It's not flashy. It's slow road. It's pain on your knees. It's prayers in the night. It's not flashy. It's slow. It's costly and it's worth it. It's not about wearing a cape. It's about keeping your promises. Fatherhood is often not dramatic heroism, but it's quiet suffering. I tell you, there are days when you want to give up. There are days when you want to move on. But you keep walking. Why? Because someone's watching you. Your daughter, your son, the church, the world. Someone's relying on you. It's not flashy. And you may feel like you're failing, Dad, but I want to tell you to keep walking. Hope is not a feeling. It's forged in patience and it's made out of actions. They may not remember every lesson. Your kids, your family, they might not remember every lesson, but they'll remember that you didn't quit, that you kept going, that you hung in there. You don't need all the answers. You just got to keep fanning the flame. Thucydides said, the bravest are surely those who have the clearest vision of what is before them, glory and danger alike, and yet still go out to meet it. And this fire is sacred, it's forged in struggle, but it's also substance, it's not success. The fire of fatherhood is not about achievement or image. And men, we love this, right? We love building a big building, building something great, people can go, wow. But I tell you what, the ones watching on, the ones depending on you, they don't care a bit about that. They don't care about your success. They care about your substance. What you model in daily life, faith, repentance, gentleness, courage, that's what they remember. The job isn't to keep the fire perfect, to keep it upright and roaring all the time. The job is to keep it lit. Your kids do not need an empire from you. They need a father who blesses, who forgives, and who stays. So don't underestimate the small moment. A bedtime blessing, a bedtime prayer can echo into eternity. When you model repentance, when you model saying sorry, when you model confession, you actually model the gospel. The sacred task is not to keep the fire perfect, but just to keep it burning. Gretchen Rubin said this, what you do every day matters more than what you do once in a while. I want to read to us from Genesis chapter 8. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, for the intentions of the man's heart is evil from his youth. Now, the flood has just occurred. The ark comes down to rest and Noah and his family get off the boat. I want you to think about this for a minute. The flood subsides, the earth is clean, the only family left, and there they are in this brand new world. And the very first thing that Noah does, the first thing that Noah does is he builds an altar. Before he builds a vineyard, he builds that next. Before he builds a shelter, he builds that after. The very first thing in this brand new recreation is he builds an altar. He builds a life, but first he builds an altar. Why? Because no one knows that the foundation of this new world is not going to be about anything else other than worship. Worship is the primary thing that occurs in a brand new world. The fire on the altar becomes the anchor for everything else. If the foundation isn't worship, it will not stand. The altar comes first. And so for fathers, spiritual dads, mentors, disciples, this is our calling, to build an altar in our homes and our families. Not just a pile of stones, but a foundation of worship and prayer and gratitude and repentance. Before we build careers, before we chase success, before we pass on possessions, the first thing we pass on is what and who we worship. For fathers, this means building an altar is creating foundations of faith in your family. An altar is a place in the Old Testament where heaven touched earth. It was this kind of heavenly portal where the fire went up and it was imagined, or is in that moment that God came down. An altar today is not a stone, but life of time, repentance, love. And Noah teaches us that before you can build a future, you must build an altar. Without it, there's no place for a fire to burn. Remember Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And so we're not just building, guys, we're not just building a house. We're not just raising kids. We're not just investing into the next generation. We're building an altar, which is a place where heaven meets earth, where faith is communicated and blessing flows. So build an altar in your home. Build an altar in your house. Not just a pile of stones, but a foundation of worship. Don't just pass on possessions. Pass on foundations. Pass on something that will stand. What altar are you building? What sacrifices are you laying down? How might we build something that remains into the generations that come? So some questions for reflection. Who passed the fire on to you? What unspoken lessons did they leave? Whereabouts in your life are you tempted to give up? And what does keep walking mean? What kind of altar are you building for those who come after you? And what does it mean for you to fix your foundation on Christ? Now for the good news. This would all be dead works if Jesus didn't do this first. Jesus is the one who has built this foundation. Hebrews 13 says, "We have an altar from which those who serve at the tent have no right to eat." What does he mean by that? He means that Christ, death and resurrection, is our altar. He's already created it. He's already built it. You've just got to walk into it. The work has already been done, my friends. Jesus is the sacrifice. He is the perfect one who gave a perfect offering, who rose again as the firstborn from among the dead. So you and I put our faith, our trust in him, and he is the one who keeps the fire burning. He's the true fire. So you don't have to carry this burden by yourself. The one who carried the cross carries you. And the fire you tend is actually his fire. The altar you build is on his foundation. This is the gospel. This is what is true. So fix your foundation on him. And when your children or your children's children or those who come after you and think about you, may they remember that you just kept that fire burning and you didn't quit. You hung in there. You tended the flame. You pointed them to Jesus. Let's stand together. Come on, church. Team, you can come. I want us to take a moment to stand before the Lord, each of us. Because each of us have a responsibility to pass something on. Each of us have a responsibility to fan into flame that gift of God, that faith that was passed on somewhere along the line to us. And we fan it into flame, not just for ourselves, but for others. We're reminded of our small little link in the chain. As Paul reminded Timothy here, faith began in your grandma, and then it was in your mom, and then it was in you, and now here I am reminding you to keep fanning into flame. Forge. It's through struggle. It's not always easy. And I want to encourage you, Dad, just hang in there. The work that you do in the unseen is the most important work. The stuff that happens when no one's watching, the way that you tend and cultivate your own faith, the way that you fan that into flame and pass that on is the most important thing. And so, Lord, today I pray Would you fan it into flame again in us? May we look at Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who sent fire from heaven in the Holy Spirit to fill and to empower his church to live out the good news. Today for every dad, every father figure, everyone who has some form, any form of spiritual responsibility for somebody else in any way. You just put your hand up, and then just put your hand up so that we can see you, and then everyone around you is going to put their hands just on your shoulder. We're going to fan it into flame. Put your hand up. Really, I can see heaps of dads who don't have their hand up. Just put your hand up. Gee. I'm going to fan you guys into flame. Come on. All right. Now, if you're near someone with their hand raised, I want you to put your hand on them, on their shoulder, just lightly. I'm going to pray for them. Spiritual dads, earthly dads, you need our prayers. And not to be supermen, but to be faithful, flame fanners. Ones who will build an altar on a firm foundation, not on success, but on presence, on authenticity. And so, Father, today, our Heavenly Father, we cry out to you as our Heavenly Dad, Abba, Father. I pray for every single one before you today. And we pray, Lord God, fan into flame the gift of God that is on their life. We pray, Lord God, where embers are smoldering, would the breath of God flow and come and fan into flame a roaring fire of faith that gets passed on from generation to generation to generation. Lord God, I pray you would put in them endurance and courage. As David said in Psalm 51, grant them a willing spirit to sustain them. It's not always going to be pretty. It's not always going to be glorious. It's not always going to look successful. But at the end of the day, you're going to endure. I prophesy over you and say, you will remain. No matter what comes against you, you will keep walking forward. You will hold on to that flame and pass it on to the generations that come after you. And I pray that as we know you, as a dad, spiritual dad, father, disciple, a mentor, whatever, I pray that you would know yourself as a son of the living God, that you'd be known by him, that your faith would be cultivated as a child, not as a slave to fear, but as one with the spirit of sonship, who can stand as one before God with his face lifted high, unashamed, chosen and loved by our Heavenly Father. We bless you. We honor you. For the work that you do is not in vain. Be blessed and honored today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.